No? Amen. 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 More amens, please. Truly, we serve an amazing God. And if you are not amazed, I am. Because this morning I have the humble privilege of standing here to share God's word. And even as I come to share, I come with tremendous apprehension. But I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed because there's small little things that God assures me. You know, it's just like comfort to me. Small little things. Like this morning, I got up and I just felt the thought that came to me was amazing God. And guess what we sang? Amazing God. And truly, He's an amazing God. And then, some passage of scripture that comes to my mind. And guess what Brother Chris talked about from Psalms 115. And there are a few verses from Psalms 115 I was thinking of sharing. And it came from that passage. Small little things. You know, it's such, He's truly an amazing God. He's trying to assure me, okay, you're on the right track. Praise the Lord, huh? I praise God for that. I tell you, I need it. I don't know about you, but I need it. Amen. And this morning is such a wonderful thing because God is such an amazing God. God is so full of love. And He knows that in this walk of life, in this pilgrimage that we are through, there are so many things that we encounter. And sometimes in the course of our living our lives, all right, there are things that we experience, things that we face, that perhaps it disappoint us. Perhaps it didn't turn out the way that we think or we would like or we hope, and it kind of messed up with our thoughts, hardened our hearts a little bit, okay? But God wants us to know. He wants me this morning to tell each one of us that He loves us. And that's the message that I want to share this morning. Okay? Tell my people I love them. Tell my people I love them. God truly loves us. And no matter where we are, no matter at what stage or what phase, what our experiences are, where we are in life, the challenges we face, He wants us to know He understands. From His heart, He wants to speak to our hearts this morning. All right? And so that it is, the title of my message this morning is, Tell My People I Love Them. Praise God. You know, the Bible says to everything there is a season. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 to 8. And there is a time for everything in our life. There is a season. And sometimes, I was telling my wife the other day, life in itself, I'm 60 plus years, So I have gone down the road a little farther than most other people. Okay? At least in this, there are some that are older than me. For example, my mother, obviously. Okay? But when you have gone down that road, you will know that there are a lot of things that you face and you encounter. And it's sometimes very challenging in itself. Agree? Yeah? Well, if you have not, well, take it from me that there will be. All right? And it is complicated enough. It is challenging enough. But sometimes, through our unwise decisions, we make it even more complicated. Do you know? You know what I mean? Yeah, it does. So through our own foolishness, we bring more trouble, more things that complicates life even further. You know? And it is during those period of time that we are so thankful we have this, the Word of God. We have fellow believers. We have shepherds over our souls that come to us and give us choice words, I call them. All right? Or the Bible in Proverbs chapter 25, 11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples in pictures of silver. Okay? They are choice words that, whoa, you know, when you receive it, you say, oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you. They are so needful at that moment. And so it is this morning, you know. The word of the Lord to us comes from the passage in Isaiah chapter 40. And pardon me, but this is my little attempt at paraphrasing the whole of Isaiah chapter 40. All right? Verses 1 and 2 says, comfort my people, says God. Or, be comforted. Okay? Be comforted. But in order for us to be comforted, we need to prepare ourselves. And he says, the word of God says, don't look to people. Don't look to people. They are fickle and undependable. And I can say that, I'm sure my wife says that to me or thinks about me sometimes. I wouldn't trust him. I'm sure she must have some moments of quiet moments. You must have thought that of me. But it is true, okay? Men, we are very fickle, okay? We say things, and maybe we meant it at that point of time. But I tell you what, it can change dramatically, okay? But the word of the Lord, word of God is eternal and dependable, okay? And then it says, look to God. Look, our God. This is who God is. Okay? In verses 8, 10 to 17. And yet, despite that, this is what we think, or this is who we think God is. And then the word in verses 21 to 26, it says, this really is who God is, people. Do we still have reason to doubt God? Don't doubt. Have faith and look expectantly to God. Right? So that kind of summarizes what Isaiah 40 to me is this morning. Tell my people I love them. Be comforted, says God. He wants to speak to us. God is a God of all comfort. God is a God of all comfort. And he From his heart, he wants to speak to our hearts. Not to our minds, but to our hearts. And the first word comes from the first couple of verses where the Word of God says that our warfare is ended, that our iniquity is pardoned. And we know and we thank God that truly our warfare is ended because Jesus has defeated the enemy. Jesus has defeated the enemy. 1 Corinthians 15:57 tells us, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, also in Romans 8:37, it says, "And yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." But if you read the preceding verses, okay, if you read the preceding verses from 35, the questions was asked, who can lay a charge against us? Who can condemn us? Who can separate us from the love of God? Nothing, absolutely nothing. If you look at all those verses, it compares from depth, from height, from all creatures here, in all of the universe, nothing can separate us from the love of God. If you feel that you are totally neglected, oh, how wrong we are. Never ever feel that we are alone, that we are the things that we are going through, the challenges that we face, that we are going through alone. God has already given us the victory. Jesus is our good shepherd. Jesus carries us like a little lamb on his shoulder. We are not forsaken. Nothing. He has already, in fact, the verses in Romans chapter 8. You know, one day I was driving, I digress, I shouldn't digress now, but it says that Christ has already paid the price. Jesus has already paid the price. He loved us so much that he has already paid the price. And that is the love of God. We can never be separated from the love of God when we put our faith and our trust in our God. Praise the Lord. You know, now I can share that. But one day I was driving on the road and I saw this car. I don't know whether you've seen this car. It's got a number plate, Romans 8. And I tell you, now that I have read this chapter again, and I say, wow, that man has really captured the essence of Romans 8. I think one day I'll change my car plate to Romans 8 too, if I have the chance. Maybe I'll call it ROM 8 rather than Romans 8. But wow, what a beautiful book Romans 8 is. Read through again and again and again and let the Word of God lift you up. Lift us all up. It's such a powerful chapter, Romans 8. The warfare is ended, the Word of God say. The enemy has been defeated. Our iniquity is already pardoned. Because Jesus was our sacrificial lamb. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We no longer need to bear our burdens anymore. It's all done away with. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. There is comfort and strength knowing that our sins are forgiven. And that's what the Word of God wants us to know. All right? Or rather, that's what God wants us to know, that our sins have been forgotten, forgiven. Amen. The next verses 3 and 4 in Isaiah 40 instruct us, prepare the way of the Lord. And it describes how the valley will be lifted up, the mountain will be cut down, will be made low, and the rough places smoothened, the crooked places will be made straight. This is a pictorial description that highlights what we need to do to prepare the way of the Lord. Everything that is wrong must be corrected for the road to be built. And if you have observed when they are doing roads, it is a very expensive and painstaking and time-consuming exercise. All right? It's not something that happens overnight. And so it is with us. Okay? We need to expend energy, do the necessary to prepare ourselves. Okay? To prepare the way of the Lord. You know, Isaiah 55, verse 3, 5, 6, and 7. It says there, incline your ear. Incline your ear. Come to me. Hear, and your soul shall be saved. Hear, your soul shall be saved. And God will make an everlasting covenant with us. And he goes on to say, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thought. Let them return to God, and he will have mercy. And to our God, he will abundantly pardon. And so that is how we are. If we are walking our own way, God call us wicked. We have to return to our God. We have to forsake our own ways. We have to hear what the Lord say. Okay? Seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Don't go our own way in our own struggles. Where we are struggling, we need to come to the cross and say, Jesus, Jesus, forgive me. I place my burden at the feet of the foot of the cross. Praise the name of the Lord. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and we shall see it together, for the mouth of God has spoken. And when we are prepared, when we have taken the necessary steps in preparation, God, when we humble ourselves, God will reveal his glory to us. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Don't look to people, they are fickle. They are fickle and undependable. You know, the word of God, the Lord compares us with grass, and nothing is more fragile than grass. It demonstrates our frailty. But in contrast, the word of God, it tells us in the verses there, 6 to 8, that his word stands forever. Psalms 18 verse 30 says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of God is proven. He is a shield to all who put their trust in him. Praise the Lord. You know, It's amazing, huh? Regarding the Word of God. History tells us that many attempts have been made to destroy the Word of the Lord. During the Roman Empire, there was an emperor who, I think his name was Diocletian. He ordered copies of Scripture to be burned throughout the Roman Empire. Within 25 years after that, Emperor Constantine commissioned that 50 copies of Scripture be done at government expense. So you have one emperor trying to destroy Scripture, and within 25 years, another emperor, Emperor Constantine, I think you probably heard of him, okay, commissioned 50 copies to be done at the Roman Empire's expense. Further down the line, we have this man called Voltaire. I think some of you might have heard of Voltaire. Very interesting. Voltaire was a skeptic and an unbeliever, infidel. He said that he boldly proclaimed, within 100 years, Christianity will be swept away and forgotten. After his death, within 50 years, it was recorded that the Geneva Bible Society used his house and his printing press to print Bibles. How'd you like that? How ironic is that? I think God is a very humorous God, isn't it? These people who mock at God, God turned it around. How ironic. Praise the name of the Lord. The word of the Lord stands forever. We can truly put our faith and our trust in God and His word. There is comfort and strength in the word of God. It goes on to say in the verses 10, 11, and 12 that this is who God is. God is great God. Behold, the Lord God will come with might, and his arm will rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. God is a great God. God is a good God. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather them like the lambs in his arm. He will carry them in his bosom and will gently lead those that have their young. And God is a God of great majesty and splendor. Didn't we just sing that song this morning? Indescribable. And that's who the God that we serve. We, in our limited capacity, we can never understand the enormity, the infinity, the expanse. Really, man is still trying to figure out how big the universe is. All right? I think we saw that picture that was shown sometime. Was it this year? I think it was the earlier part of this year. And we are still trying to figure out the enormity, and yet on the other extreme, how small is. Okay? But this is the God who created all these things, and we're still trying to grapple with it. There is comfort and strength. In the divine attributes of God. He is a great God. He is a good God. And he has enormous majesty, splendor, power. His hand is not too short. Amen. And yet, many times when we live our lives, like the children of Israel. Okay? We live our lives like the children of Israel and we say, we compare God like an idol. Okay? We compare God to an idol. And you know, the Bible describes in Psalms 115, all right? An idol. We compare God to an idol. Like we treat him like God have ears, have mouth, they do not speak, have ears that they do not see, or rather they have eyes that they do not see, and they have noses they do not smell, they have hands that they do not handle, feet they have but they do not walk, nor do they speak through their mouth. That's how we conduct ourselves sometimes. We may not make idols for ourselves, but what I'm saying is that the way we conduct ourselves, we think like that, if you know what I'm trying to get at, okay? But that's not God, who God is. God is not an idol. God is not an idol. Isaiah 40, verse 21 to 26 tells us, this really is who God is. This really is who God is. He is the Almighty. He is the Creator God. Praise the name of the Lord, huh? And there is great comfort and strength when we get a proper understanding of who God is. That's how we should be. We must understand and know the God that we serve. They that know their God shall do great exploits. That's how we must. May the Lord help us. It is easy for us to forget. And may the Holy Spirit bring to our remembrance time and again. God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us. If we put you in a little box, forgive us. If we think of you like an idol, have mercy upon us. Because you are more than, infinitely more than that. And let us not be like what the verses in Isaiah 40, verse 28 says. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? In other words, Lord, have you forgotten me? Why do we still doubt God? Do we still have any grounds to doubt God? Maybe the challenge that we currently encountering and face make us question God. But really, in everything, we must give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. We must trust in His goodness, trust in His majesty, trust in His wisdom, trust in His will, His perfect will for us. Because when we look back, you know, it's very hard when you are in it to try to reason a picture, you know. But when you go through it and then you look back and you say, wow, God, forgive me. I really messed it up. You really know what you were doing. It's just that when we were in it, it's so hard for us. You follow what I'm saying? And it is. I mean, I have seen that in my own life, and I'm sure you have in your own lives too. Many times we forget. We face a new challenge and we forget the past, what he did in our lives. You get what I'm saying? It's so easy to do that. But then when we go through it and then we look back and say, wow, Lord, I messed it up. I missed it. I completely missed it. Truly, if we are honest to ourselves, if we sit back and reflect and we think, we can say without a shadow that God, there are no grounds really for me to doubt you. You have demonstrated time and again that you're a God of love, you're a good God, you have been so merciful to us despite our messing up. Nothing that happens in our lives is hidden from God. There is nothing that is neglected by God. In fact, the Bible tells us that we need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. And that's the attitude that we have to adopt in our lives. To walk humbly, work it out, and always remember. And I'm so thankful that I just remember the passage in, was it 1st or 2nd Thessalonians chapter 5. Rejoice always. Rejoice. Okay? Rejoice. In everything, we have so much in us to rejoice over. And if you've got no reason to rejoice, then rejoice in this verse. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Don't doubt God anymore. Look expectantly to him. Wait on the Lord, he says. Those who wait on the Lord, to wait is to look expectantly to him. To wait is to bind ourselves tightly to him. Okay? Because he will not fail us. Wait on the Lord, and those who wait will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God will not fail us because he loves us so much. God will give us all that we need for life and for godliness. His grace is sufficient for us. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. Note that God will give strength only to those who are humble and who are weak. Who are humble and who are weak. The proud, he despises, he looks afar off. So, have the proper perspective for God. Have the perfect attitude before God. Because when we do that, he will show himself strong on our behalf. Praise the name of God, huh? When we are clear in our assessment of God compared to ourselves, when we throw ourselves at the foot of the cross, we will receive from God's treasure trove. What a comfort. What a comfort. Praise the name of the Lord. And when we do that, we can then all truly, truly say, like Isaiah 40 verse 9, we can bring good tidings, get up on the high mountain, lift up our voice with strength, lift it up and be not afraid and say, behold,
our God. That's the God that we serve. Behold our God. He is truly an amazing God. Indescribable. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And that's how God wants us. You know, we really don't know what sort of situations that we face. But that's our God. High and lifted up. High and lifted up. And nothing escapes him. Praise God. Amen and amen.